in the areas where the municipality is not compelled to and does not deliver. The mistrust in the municipality, I think, is something which is perhaps normal, given the bad press that municipalities are getting all over the country. We believe, and our experience is, in dealing with the municipal officials, that we should attempt to add value to what they do, and we've got no reason at this point to take the position that the funds, which will be ring-fenced in any event, that there's any risk to us. We have had very good experiences with the officials at the municipality. Anyway, so that's the background. And I think that the lessons learned were good ones. We are satisfied that there are sufficient positive ratepayers, and the support we've had with people making contact with us. Many of you in this room volunteered and assisted us going door to door to sell this initiative, and we're very grateful for that, and it is that which motivates us to continue. We have lost the opportunity of establishing by July of this year, and the effect of that is that if we get the support or retain the support we have from you, the CID will be established in October of this year, but it will only become effective in the new financial year, which will be from 1 July 2027. It is our vision, and we will ask you to consider this, that if we have the support of the ratepayers, overwhelming support, we want to implement immediately. In other words, we will invite the positive ratepayers to consider contributing on a voluntary basis immediately as if we had been established. And those funds will be administered in our non-profit company privately and not through the municipal system until it can be implemented and it has been approved by council in the new financial year. In other words, we don't want to lose enthusiasm, and we don't want to lose, I'm losing my words now, impetus. We want to start and retain our momentum and start showing the public what we can achieve as a collective. So we will invite people to consider that. The other thing we're going to ask you to consider is that you make your payment as a ratepayer in a single payment, if affordable to you, and not on a monthly basis, although you have that option also. There are other persons that are disappointed with the new geographical area that have indicated that were positive, that wanted this to happen, and they've indicated that they would like to be involved, many of them, and it is anticipated that we will get voluntary contributions from ratepayers outside of the area, which we are entitled to do, and also to accept donations, which we anticipate will be forthcoming, so that it adds, it increases our financial ability. So that's the story. I will then stop talking, because I was reminded by one of our members that I should please not be boring and repeat everything everybody's heard in the previous two meetings. I've tried not to do that. I've tried to give you some new information, but I will now stop and ask Wessel and Imke to do the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Derek. I think maybe just also a word of thanks to Derek and his enthusiasm. It's no small feat. I think the last year and a half that we've been through, Derek has been the one that's always leading the charge and getting everybody geared up. It's a positive action that we're busy with, but it is arduous. And I think Derek, thank you from our side for your efforts in keeping the momentum. Yeah, so welcome to the part that is the legislative part. The people that has been involved and has attended some of the meetings, some of this would be slightly repetitive, but I think we are obliged to follow due process, and I think it's quite important. There is a couple of new faces as well. I will touch on the various aspects of the agenda points, but I think it was just good from our side, maybe just to remind yourself where we've come from, where we've been, and why we're at the third participation meeting. So I think just if we go on to the processes to date, this is a slide we actually used at the end in the first two, but I think it's just a good reminder of how far we've come. And although we might not have achieved our first round success, like Derek highlighted, maybe we were a little bit ambitious, but, you know, so we learn. So I think just from a correctness point of view, we had to establish a steering committee. I think it is important to understand that the steering committee have to exist within the proposed area for them to participate in terms of having a vote on the steering committee. That's also been vetted by the executive manager. In this case, it's our CFO, Jimmy Hubert, which was also a good process. But I think just maybe on that, the municipality has been really excellent in engaging and assisting. They've went on a first round trip with us to Cape Town to go and learn from the Cape Town department. I think their department's almost as big as our municipality, Jimmy, that they've established. I mean, Cape Town's taking it seriously. And they've actually done a second round trip from a legality point and actually came back with very useful information that drives our process to ensure compliance and ensure that we don't miss a step. So that was followed by a urban management survey. I think most of us received those notifications and participated. It was quite good to see that I think we received just short of 360 responses. And I think in there lies a unique thing that 387.57 was unique property owners. I think just for context, what does that mean? What we've had in the bylaws actually that we have to follow is that a ratepayer and a property owner is not always the same thing. So what does that mean? Effectively, it refers to the voting process. So a singular person could own 11 properties in his private capacity. It only means that he's got one vote. And that was one of the key things that we've experienced. So typically CIDs is established in an urban residential area. And typically it's a single property owner living in his neighborhood. So when we came down to the voting, it was quite interesting to see, and I'll refer to it on one of the next slides. Currently we have 21 property owners owning 117 properties in this town. So those are effectively votes that we lose in establishing, although they represent those properties in terms of how the voting system works. We then, post the urban management survey, created a business plan that involved everybody's input about security, safety, cleanliness, environmental impacts, and we then created a public participation plan, and then also followed by that was the business plan that we could then present to the citizens and the ratepayers. We then had our first public meeting on the 9th of December. We then also had a commentary period, which I'll also refer to now, which was quite interesting. Some valuable input was gained from the various ratepayers. And then obviously we had our final second public meeting where we then adopted then the business plan, which was adopted, which was good to see. Unfortunately, the vote didn't go through, but you know that it's lessons learned. We then reconvened as the steering committee to sort of find a way of how we could still continue as the CID and establish. And there was, I think just for clarity, 9 attempts at a proposed area. So this wasn't, let's just find the first place and move along. So there was quite a lot of thought put in between residential and business, but also considering the areas where we can be effective. And I think just a note there, an area can only be considered if there's a certain collection ratio. So as much as we would love to have the whole GraphNet participate or the whole GraphNet included, I think it's important to understand that you need a collection ratio of 80% plus for area to be considered. So if we look at the area proposed, it ticks those boxes. The initial proposed area also had a blend of voting percentages, which we felt achievable. So the refined area will be a smaller area, but an achievable area where we already have a good footprint of yes votes. So currently, we're at the third public meeting, and then post this, a voting window will open again to see if we reach our target. Thanks, Imke. So I think just maybe on the comments, we do listen, we do engage. Derek also said, you know, like we're not always right in what we think. So some of the feedbacks, there was a few budget discrepancies, more... I think from an accounting perspective, so nothing untowards in bad allocation, more just how things are added up, the expenditures in the various sections, and then also just how the additional rate is calculated. The additional rate, there is a difference between residential and commercial or property business owners, and the rate that we would like to collect is then divided into the properties, and then each commercial will have a slightly higher rating than a residential property.
Sorry, can I ask a question at this point? The map you sent out is coloured wrong. Half the business properties are showing as residential. So that's a huge problem that you need to fix. I believe you run a business in Somerset Street, even your property is showing as residential where you run your business property.
Yeah, thanks for the question. I think just importantly, the data that we used is data that's based on the municipal rates, and those properties are meticulously looked at, but the rates and taxes information that we receive, sorry, we'll have questions afterwards. We just... The applications all... It is all correct. It is correct, but the data that we receive is not always... Okay, so the data we receive is not always updated immediately. For example, if there's a change of ownership in a property, we've picked up some discrepancies that we've relayed to the municipality, and that's also been fixed. It's not a perfect system, unfortunately, but it is as accurate as what we've got it. It's not that we've done anything. We'll certainly look at it. If there's ones you can note, we're happy to look into it.
We will do.
We've picked up a few discrepancies. We've picked up that we've addressed and sent back for fixing, but it's not the information, again, from the CID's perspective, as a private individual organization is independent of the municipality. We merely work on information provided.
I think that the point you made are very good, and I'm glad you raise it, and we will certainly address it. There's nothing sinister in it or intended, and the color coding is there just to try and illustrate the area. We'll address that. Thank you. We have to, and we will.
Okay, and the other problem with it is when you color the properties in yellow and you tell the people that they're going to be paying the residential rate and they should be paying the other rate, they may vote yes for a lower, for 150 rand.
Yeah. So I think that's unlikely. I take the point, though. I think we know, if I'm a business owner, that I'll be paying those rates. There are properties in GraphNet that are used for business purposes that are paying commercial rates, but are not yet zoned business. And that's where the data, and that's what Vessel was trying to convey, is the data is not always accurate. But we must ensure it's accurate. And we will, and I think it's a very good point, and I'm glad you've raised it. We've spent, IMPER spent.
And the biggest thing about those old CIDs, don't discriminate with the whole of the town.
A big pardon?
The whole of the town, or it's no town at all. See, so you can't go make it smaller than that, do something that you want to do, and then leave other people out.
No, it's a good.
The town starts down at the bottom, in down there, and in down there. It's the whole town, and the surrounding little towns that were there.
No.
Everybody.
It's not, sir.
You want more votes?
You're wrong for a
because
couple of.
The genius that thought about making it smaller to get people that 60.1% one person. I'm not going to know that genius was that.
Well, you're talking to the genius, and he's not a genius.
Right?
He's not a genius.
Wrong, because now the people that's outside this thing now, you're splitting it down into two.
Sir, you're wrong.
That's not right.
You're wrong for a couple of reasons, and I'll tell you why. And if you'd listen to Bessel, the special rights area is a defined geographical area within a town. Or within
no,
a hang on. I think you should listen to what I'm saying and let me finish. The city of Cape Town has 54 CIDs. It's not an all-encompassing thing. It's the opposite. It's a defined. Absolutely. Tombuurskloof has just done that. Exactly. But you are wrong on a number of counts. St. Francis Bay, for example. I'm telling you why you're wrong in principle. So you've made, I think you've. You're not letting me talk, and I think you don't want to hear what I'm saying. I respect what you have raised, but you are wrong on the issue relating to the geographical area for a number of reasons. One, collection rates have to be over 80%, and they're not in all parts of Graaffontein. Two, the Act makes provision for a specific geographical area within a town, not the whole town. And we tried to include as much as we could initially where the collection rate would stay above 80%. And that is the reason why there is a smaller area. And the hope is, and if you listen to my introductory talk, is that our hope is that if we achieve what we want to in the smaller geographical area, that we can increase it as the Act allows us to. So I think I've answered your position, and I'm pleased about the color coding issue that you raised, because that's helpful. Thank you.
So,
I think
so now the people that's outside of this, there's no the area that you're listening to.
Yes.
So if they don't agree with what you're going to be doing in your situation,
They're irrelevant because they're not in that area. They become relevant. It is a whole town. Yes, and if you listen to the presentation and the original presentations, you'll see that we have specifically allowed in the bylaw in this town that the CID may perform work outside of its area also, so that the whole town benefits. But the hope is, sir, that we will grow the area with positive outcomes of what we're setting about to do, as has happened in St. Francis also. So if you let us do our presentation, you've made your point, I think I've answered them, and I'm grateful for the other point.
Next slide. So, if I can just continue. So, just post the initial two meetings and the focus groups and key findings. Again, we're also learning as we're doing this. The awareness of the four pillars is also quite important. How they interlink with each other, and also the education of which section of security falls under security, but environmental and cleanliness, for example, overlap in quite a lot of functions, but so does security. So I think it's important from our side. So when we looked at safety and security, it's quite a broad topic. So if we talk safety and security, maybe in this room, we're thinking of cameras and crime, but food security is also a security aspect. So I think it's quite important that the pillars have been set up, but certain functions fall within a certain pillar. So food security might actually go into the the social upliftment aspect of the key pillars. So I think just, for example, one of the good points that came out was the enforcing of bylaws. It's something that we've discussed as the steering committee, that the bylaws I don't want to use the word neglected, but they're not necessarily enforced always, and they might also be dated. So dumping carries a charge of 500 Rand for illegal dumping, where we probably think it should be 5,000 to discourage people. But that's a working point that I think the CID's establishment can help. And then we had a comment about fracking. Although it's not a CID direct problem, it does, however, influence our town and our viability of our town, because the farming community plays a large role, and if fracking is continued, there is a direct impact. So it's something we have to be conscious of, not necessarily address specifically. And then, I think on social upliftment, I think we've developed a full social development plan for town that we had a specific person that was engaged to help us develop that. But I think the biggest key aspect there was the communication and the interaction. There's a lot of good people doing good work, but they sometimes operate in silos. And I think one of the key functions for the CID has been to actually create a platform where the various stakeholders can participate. So on the colors, but I think just from a proposed geographic area. So I think the key thing, can you actually just go to the two slides on? I just want to just highlight that again. Okay. I think just what is a CID? I think just importantly, a city improvement district, we refer it to a community. In Cape Town, the technical correct term is a city, but we refer it to as a community improvement district. It's a clearly defined geographical area. You can go back there. I think it's just very important. It is connected properties that is a defined area. So although 105 Somerset East and 93 have voted yes, if there's a break, we do not have a continuous area, and I think it's very important. So as much as we would like to have everybody wanting to participate from a legal point, it's a defined geographical area, and this map that we've drawn up is relating to previous votes and also various properties. We try to find a balance between residential and business. I think it's important when you look at the legal aspect, there is a rate in the rand and also a property value. So if you add up the property values, that determines what type of CID you can establish. So if we look at a mixed use, we need a 60+1% vote. We looked at being as inclusive as possible with a defined area. So if we look at the previous proposed area, we had 986 properties. We've down to 377. I think from a voting perspective, none of the areas outside of the horseshoe area came even close to, I think, 17% of votes collected, never mind yes or no. So I think just important from trying to be inclusive, we also have to focus on the legality of having certain votes and areas. So the area is a best representation that we could find. Like I said, there was 9 attempts of trying to do it. I think quite interestingly, it's a slide that I forgot to actually add. If we look at this current horseshoe presented, probably if we counted green votes, or rather properties that voted yes, most of the horseshoe is covered. However, due to the nature of ownership and how a ratepayer is accounted for in terms of the voting, a large area of the horseshoe then does not make the vote. So even if we take all the positives and we give all that 21 property owners their full votes, we still, in the early 40% in the horseshoe, which does not meet the criteria of establishing. So we went and looked at what we could find, where we could establish and start, with trying to be as fair as possible between business and residential, because, you know, from a business perspective already, they do carry a lot of the load in terms of the proportional rates, and this is currently the best that we could find. So you'll note their total ARPs is less than the total properties, and I think that, again, highlights. So 267 people represent 377 properties, and I think that's quite an important aspect to just consider and understand why the area is situated as such. So I can skip over the steering committee. Derek has introduced everybody. I think just to, again, highlight, there is important aspect, I think, here is the services are provided in public spaces, not on private property. Anybody under the normal municipal system that is exempted from rates is also exempted, so nobody will be additionally forced to pay a rate that is not governed by law. But I think the other parties, again, that I think I want to highlight, it's a clearly defined geographical area in which the property owners contribute an additional rate for supplementary municipal services. The role is not to do municipal work. The role is to do additional work that enhances the town, which indirectly obviously enhances the value of the property. It also then directly influences the ability to employ and create job opportunity. So I think I've touched a little bit on that, on the why, but I think the most important aspect, it's a cleaner and a safer town. That is the key driver. If you go to any of the other CIDs, interesting enough, one of the oldest ones is actually in Port Elizabeth in Central, and I think people that know Central or the old Opera House area, I mean, that wasn't a very positive area to move around in, and they have done magnificent work to actually clean up that area. There's been an increase in property value there. Yes, there's always Port Elizabeth is not doing maybe so extremely well otherwise, but you can clearly see where they work. If you follow them, you can see the areas that they've managed to clean up in their public spaces. It does work. Quite an interesting thing there from a budget perspective, which I'll get to. Their first year's budget was just short of 500,000. After having gained support, they immediately went close to 3 million, I think, and then so forth. Their budget has grown into 5 million a year contributions out of Central, which is not an extremely, well-off residential area in Port Elizabeth. So I think it's just case in point, it does work. But I think the ultimate thing for us, the initial start is a cleaner and safer environment. And then that has many aspects. But I think that is one of the key things that out of our research have seen and that we've focused on is that is our initial start, and that will always also establish and be shown in the budget. So I think just again, the four pillars, these aren't pillars that the steering committee or that one person decided. These are areas that are legislated with the bylaws and as such. So safety and security, environmental development, social upliftment, cleaning and maintenance, these are pillars that we have to follow. How we fill in the pillars below in terms of our budget expenditure is within control of the SRA and the people that is part of this. We have been obviously, I say, tasked, but we've engaged and provided our time to create a budget that is based on the urban management survey. With some input from Cape Town, we've consulted a consultant that has established, I think, over 30 in Cape Town and assisted in that. So I think these pillars, they cannot change. How we fill them up from the bottom can change, and that is where the engagement and, again, the participation of the special rights area people affected are participating. So I think just quickly referring back to the urban management survey, 330 responses, 267 unique property owners. So I think it is a good thing that people did respond. We do, and I think I'm not going to be shy, not say shy, but I think it's important. We've experienced a lot of apathy for people to participate and vote. And I think it's a, without harping on about people sitting back waiting for things to happen, I mean, I think it's important that it is up to us to establish. It's us that can only vote. Nobody else can vote. So if we don't have ourselves and our neighbors vote, we can't establish. And I think in the a lot of the voting in the urban management survey has shown to us that, that people like to sort of sit back and first see what's happening before they commit. We've taken the view of committing through and making sure that the information is made available and the various meetings are attended. So if we can move into the business plan. So the business plan is a largely based on what we've previously established because that is what the urban management survey has told us. But I think obviously it is broken up into the four pillars: the improving of safety and security, cleaning and maintenance, environmental, social upliftment, and obviously the financials, how they are compiled. I think importantly, in the startup process, we have to figure out which pillar we attribute most of the income towards. But I think importantly, income is on a monthly basis generally. So although we might have a 2 million rand budget for security, we only receive 150 a month. So it's not a matter of just seven towers going to be going up with security cameras and patrolling guards walking about. We have to, obviously, as money flows, establish. So if we go into safety and security, so with the new established area, proposed established area, 74% of the first year expenditure will go into security. That's clearly the greatest need, and we're going to do that by CCTV across the boundaries, monitoring of cameras. There is already functions, and I think maybe just to highlight that the CID won't be running their own security company or doing things. We're merely there to engage with what's currently going on and also assist the current programs or people that's involved by establishing better services, or alternatively, in a few cases, appointing somebody in conjunction with what is currently, you know, being provided in terms of security. We've got various quotes from companies giving ideas of setting up a control room, more patrolling vehicles, more security cameras, and that every year as you grow, the expenditure can happen. And then one of the big things is the car guards in the main street. I think it's a bugbear for most people, but to actually create a sustainable program so that we can address that. So cleaning and maintenance, so quite a significant proportion less than previously you've had. You'll see that the next three slides, if you add the percentages, doesn't get to 100. Obviously, there's fixed costs to actually manage and run the CID from an administrative point as such, so a large portion of the budget's going into that as well. So I think the big thing is the small wins. And I think that's one of the things that we've also focused on what can we do fast to make an immediate impact so that people can actually see the difference. And that's obviously maintaining and cleaning the public areas, improving the public amenities. One of the big focus areas is obviously lack of public toilets and seating, and that's general through town. That's not even any specific area. That is just something that we do not have. There's, I think we counted three, whereas one is actually currently functioning. And it's not centrally or well located as well for public access, but that's one of the things that we're focusing on. But one of the things that we can do with alternative ways is making people more aware and also educating about it, because I think your own street corner is also your responsibility. We can't sit and wait for somebody else to come and do it. You know, we all can participate in that aspect. So environmental development. This is one that we unfortunately, you know, quite significantly had to cut budget. Although environmental currently and cleanliness overlap significantly, these things are entrances to town, for example, public spaces that can be redeveloped or improved. So for now, we've taken the view of rather maintaining rather than developing. We do have quite significant plans, but suggestions and things in place to improve. If we use the example, for example, Market Square, that area, which is a central part to the approach to town, same from Port Elizabeth side, there are credible plans in place. Unfortunately, with the previous one, we can't implement them, but we do have them, and that's something we can strive for. But, you know, again, there's passionate people. People's already put their hands up saying that they will help with gardening, or they'll help with flowers in the main street. So, again, the approach is to rather engage those individuals directly and get some action directly by managing the things. We do have a wonderful tree committee that's been reestablished. Those are things that we can do without having to spend too much money on them individually. Social upliftment, again, one of those areas, considering the current new proposed area. We've developed a full social upliftment plan with a person that has got a credible history with town, but has also has worked in that space for many, many years. That is something that we're holding back on. I think just, for example, the benefit of the CID's establishment is that there is a lot of interest from outside and locally for people to spend money. They just don't necessarily have the right conduit to do so. So by being able to establish a CID, we can unlock a lot of value. So if we use a simple example of security, there are individual businesses and homeowners that's maybe out of the CID that's put their hand up to contribute. And that allows us then to actually do more within the parameters of the budget, because the way it is set up, we are allowed to receive external funding or external sponsorship. So although social upliftment percentage-wise carries a small contribution, there are immediate ways to actually have income received so that we can distribute it. It is something that I don't want to say talk out of turn, but Derek gets confronted with a lot of people wanting to contribute to town. It's not always possible due to having the right structures in place to do so. The CID is a perfect conduit for us to be able to achieve that for town. And I think maybe coming back to your point about the whole town, the initial budget proposal does allow for expenditure. Our budget actually even proposed expenditure outside of the initial CID, which includes the whole town, all the neighborhoods. Unfortunately, due to the nature, we have to be a little bit more closer focused. The focus or the mandate of the steering committee still focuses on the other areas. The impact is just limited now due to obviously a smaller budget that we have to manage. So I think just on the financial impact, I think this is just a good illustration of the sort of rate in the rand that one would consider be paying relative to the property and your municipal valuation. So importantly, the values are based on the municipal valuation, not market value or any other given value. So as it's on the roll or the register, that is how it's considered. And obviously, the contribution from the commercial side or business side is higher. We did try to find a best possible balance. Again, this is open for comment, so it's not full and final. This is also based on the previous attempt, but I think there's been a lot of thought in. And I think also just importantly, what we've established here has also been vetted by the municipality for correctness in terms of the calculation and is it feasible, is it okay? So they've also provided their input to ensure that the numbers aren't, they're as accurate as possible. Thank you. So proposed budget, I think just if you notice general expenditure, so if we come back to the expenditure in terms of the total, core business is 1.6 million, and general expenditure is 417,000. So I think just coming back to the percentages, maybe not adding up, there is unfortunately fixed costs to run this business or entity or organization. And we've trimmed as much as possible. It is shown further. But I think just to highlight again that although there is an additional rate that would be collected of 2.1 million, legislation again requires us to have bad debt reserves, but the core business will see the largest amount. Interesting enough, if the budget increases, the general expenditure doesn't really increase. So it's a direct correlation. So the bigger the area can become, the more money we'll have available. And I think just, again, importantly, these are proposed budgets over year five. As soon as it's established, the serving committee can do amendments. So if the budget increases because there's a growth, that can also happen. We've proposed, obviously, with inflation, which was one of the mistakes we made in those discrepancies. We had a percentage or two difference in terms of the growth established. So if you just go into the actual core business slide, Imke. So obviously you'll see that they've split up. So they basically split up again into the four pillars. These are what you'll see the rand amounts are available to us should we establish. And this is what we've tried to balance between immediate impact that is visible and real, in between also being able to do things that are practical. Again, remember the CID's establishment allows for additional funding, which is potentially available should we get established. So it can enhance what we receive in income quite significantly, but we also have to be realistic and do what we can do within the parameters. Next one. Thank you, Imke. So I think these are all on annual figures. So if you look through these things, these are costs. We've been keeping the accounting system intact almost exactly as to what is currently proposed. So the figures that we do have, we know that we've rounded them off a little bit, but they are as close as and as real as what we're currently experiencing, having set up the steering committee and having actually run the organization the last while. We've tried to be as fair as possible without going overboard. The administration and management fees, that's literally paying an administrator, a person like an Imke, to actually do the daily operations, do all the legal reporting, manage everything. So I think just, you know, it's one of those things that one has to be practical. You pay what you get for, and as much as you would think you could make it a lesser amount, the reality is it is a large organization that will be dealing with money and various community aspects and yeah, so it's based on what we're currently affording, and then the rest are fairly general normal expenses for running the business. I think just again highlighting, the business is run through a non-profit company. So in other words, the business is within the Companies Act. The initial directors will be the steering committee till we establish and the first meeting is held, and then a full proposal can be made for the various office bearers in that space. You'll see that it has to be within 6 months. It can be earlier. But I think importantly, the municipality do not, they're not involved. They're merely in an oversight situation. They will also appoint a councillor to attend some of the, or you know, the management meeting, so to say, as an observer. But I think membership is free for eligible ratepayers in the area, subject to the forms. However, I think quite importantly, only registered non-profit company members have voting rights. So the idea is to encourage people to be part of the company, which ultimately will run the CID. But I think importantly, you need to be part of the NPC also to have your vote going forward when there's budget proposals or changes in how things are done, or if there's new ideas. It is important to remember that aspect. And then the board of directors will be elected from the members. So it's nobody's appointing himself. It will be on a voluntary basis, but I think importantly, if somebody's elected, it's because he's been elected. Nobody appointed him himself. Then I think the biggest thing is the effectiveness of the management is a CID manager, and that comes back to that cost that we've identified for the overhead. But I think it is quite a large role, which I don't think we must. We've been spoiled with Imke doing many things with many hats with a smile. So I think that person that will be in charge of being the CID manager is in for a surprise, Imke. But yeah, I think it's on a 5-year cycle. Again, very importantly, it is presented in a 5-year proposed idea forward. Again, things can change, but that again falls within the legislation. And there is a process for the CID, for the members may dissolve the CID. If it doesn't work, in 3 years' time, nobody is willing to put their hand up. There is a process to dissolve it, but yeah, that is not our hope for the CID. So yeah, so currently the next steps, we currently at our third public meeting, we will then go into the commentary period starting to this evening post this meeting. Comments can be done via email. There's also the WhatsApp channel that you can, the cell phone can be reached. We do encourage participation. I mean, for example, the process in we must meet with 20% of the people who voted no, which we've also done, to get everybody's perspective. I mean, sometimes there's misinformation or information not understood correctly, and it's important to engage. And I think so far, we've had positive, negative engagements, if I can put it that way. People that is opposing the CID, but on a credible basis with facts. And it was good engagements. That was valued, and that stuff we've implemented in the new proposal. So I think just on to the next steps. So what happens next? Voting starts tonight. I think a very important aspect. So if you fall within the new adjusted boundary and you've already voted yes or no, your vote will be counted as it stands. You have the opportunity to change your vote at any time, even if you voted no and want to vote yes, or no, yes, and want to vote no, you are allowed to. However, if there is no response, the vote will be counted as a yes. That is a lesson learned from Tamboerskloof, actually. Where that process was not necessarily properly communicated and allowed everybody their fair opportunity. They did eventually establish, but they did actually get some pushback on that. We again re-verified this via the municipality that we have to engage with, and I think the final answer was that as it's described here, it is correct and allowable within the process. So if you voted yes, leave it as such. If not, you have an opportunity to change. So I think just maybe leading on to that, we have to reapply our application for the CID. We followed the previous steps, steps 1 to 6 in the start. We've re-established and followed those processes. We've submitted our public participation plan again for consideration, but if we do establish or if we do gain enough vote, we have to then bring the application again to the municipality, which then gets approved by council. So I think it is important that the process is followed properly, but everybody does vote, which I think is important. And then once it's established, the actual plan only it runs in conjunction with the municipality's budget. Hence the July date of 2027. We are hopeful that if we do achieve vote, that we'll use the non-profit company that's been established to act as a conduit for people willingly contributing towards the CID initially, that we can start getting off the ground. But that, again, like I said, will allow us to actually do something credible in the short term, but also hopefully allow us to open the doors for external funding as well. So I think just maybe just in closing, from a communication point, there is other ways. There's the actual website that you, I think hopefully all have seen and been on. There is the email address which we've just shared. There's the dedicated telephone. There's also the WhatsApp channel that I think we've been quite good at maintaining and sending updates. But I think the biggest thing is transparency. We've tried to be transparent wholeheartedly, but I think importantly, again, coming back to the colors, we're not perfect. We try to do our best. But if there's certain things that we've missed, we do work off a municipal information. The municipal database. And I think maybe just there for clarity, when Jimmy can correct me, that base is also linked to the... I forgot the English. So what's reflected there is reflected on the database. So it's not always just the municipality that might have an issue. These are things reflecting on the deeds office. So I think just important, because we immediately also, but this, we sure this Tunny stays in this house, but unfortunately the deeds office is also behind with a lot of data. So there are discrepancies. But we're very willing. We've done color by numbers here the last 3 months, trying to establish all the various properties. Are they correctly noted for commercial and things? And we've also picked up a few, but some things can be changed or addressed. Some things, like I've mentioned now, the deeds office is also responsible for the business use, especially when it comes to those things. So although your application goes in locally and is approved by council, there's still a change at the deed office. So I think just important to remember that part. So thank you. We will allow some more questions if there's more. Derek is, I think, better suited from the legal side to maybe answer some of those. We've got a mic, so just for clarity, we obviously also have to record these meetings as part of the process. Michelle's got a mic. If you do have a question, Michelle will run you the mic. I think just practically, I think try to stick to one question and not too many follow-up questions. You're welcome to ask a question again at the other stage, but I think just to give everybody a fair opportunity to raise a question.
Thank you. Just before we take questions, can I just say this to you? The applicant in this particular application has to be a ratepayer in good standing. I am that ratepayer. But the establishment of the CID happens by the community. So the affected ratepayers in the area will decide whether they support this initiative or not. Then people like myself and the steering committee fall out the picture, and once it's established, those ratepayers that wish to become members of the non-profit company, apply for membership, and they elect a board of directors that will run the company. So you as a ratepayer will be running the show, not Derek Light, not Andy Johnson, or any other sinister person or genius. It will be you if you take ownership of it and if you decide that that is what you want. We think it's a great idea. You might think it sucks. It's a community-driven thing. All right, questions? Sorry, sir, you had a question.
Is it on? Okay, with the...
could you identify yourself, please, just for the record?
My name's Lance Guest.
Hello, Lance. Okay.
With the counting the votes of people who voted 3 months ago.
Yes.
You explained that it's legal, but is that ethical, considering some of them may be dead and some of them may have sold their properties already? So can you, how long are you going to take their votes as acceptable for? If it's not approved this time, are you going to come back in 2 years' time and still count those votes?
No. We have 9 months from the last meeting to get our act together, and we won't count dead people's votes. Those votes will be audited. You have the opportunity. You might have voted yes initially, Lance, and now you regret that. You have a 30-day window period to withdraw that vote. And it's important that you know that. You can change your vote to a no vote. Those votes will be audited. We have appointed external auditors for that purpose. And we're not going to... There's nothing in it for us personally, Lance. We're doing this for the community. And it has to stand up to scrutiny. We have external auditors. We have an internal accountant. We have a company secretary. We have the executive director of the municipality. They've got a committee that do oversight on what we do. So it's got to stand up to scrutiny, Lance. Otherwise, you should really accept that there's nothing sinister in this. You either like it... We only have 9 months from the last meeting to get to apply to the council. And that period ends in October, not next year, this year. And that's what the law says. And we're going to stick by that. Happy? Thanks, Lance. Yes, sir. Darby. Michelle, you're going to have to run, my girl.
I am Davi Patter. Derek, I'm going to go back to the voting. If one single individual falls within the demarcated area, have more than one property, let's say he's got three properties, one property in his personal name, one property in a trust, one property in a company, all three of those entities are legal entities. Why can he not have three votes?
No, he, in fact, has three votes. The entity has a vote. If he's got property in his own name, he's got a vote, and his trust can also vote. But what can't happen is a guy like you that has 10 properties. You're unfortunately restricted to one property if it's in your personal name. And it changes. It's an odd thing in the legislation. It's a vote per property owner. Once it's established in the company, there's a weighted vote on value. So if I've got very valuable property, then I would have a greater number of votes in the NPC than the guy that's got a lesser value property. But for the purposes of establishing the CID, it's a vote per property owner.
Good day. I'm Ernst Fischer. I just want to ask, because I'm very much for the CID, will the CID be hamstrung in any way until it gets established? Because you want to start getting funds, which I agree, which is a great idea. I just want to know, is there any way that we're hamstrung in what we can do?
We hamstrung only in that it's not something you can enforce. It's something which people would have to voluntary. It won't be a rate. It will be a voluntary contribution to the company, which will enable the company to commence with its work. The formal establishment will only occur later, and the rate will only be levied from July next year. But there are already people that unfortunately, sometimes I can't disclose everything that I know, because it's confidential stuff. But we've already been approached with a significant project in one of the disadvantaged areas, a substantial sum of money for upliftment and for creating employment and so on, which our memorandum of incorporation and the bylaw allows us to do stuff outside of our area. But you need to get established so that the generous people can actually assist you. But we're going to encourage, after 30 days we've met the threshold, we will encourage those persons, if they wish to voluntarily contribute as if we established. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Kerry Fairley. So my question is related to that, but it's a follow-on. So I'm outside of the CID area currently, but I want to be participate. But to understand your reason for the area and wanting to get it established, but say once you're established and say I volunteer to take part, will I have voting rights to influence decisions on the in the CID?
Technically, I think no. Because you couldn't become a member of the company unless you're an ARP within that area. But there are a number of people like you or that have expressed that sentiment, people that actually voted for the establishment of the CID that are disappointed that they're currently outside the area. And those people have, the people in the district, in farming areas, that have offered to contribute financially because they support the idea. So we would like to, you people like you, to walk the road with us, but yeah, you will be limited in that respect. The idea would be to, the idea really is, and look, we think it's a great idea. A large number of people didn't think so, okay? We're hoping that if we get this off the ground and people can see the impact it can have, that that area will grow naturally, as it has in other places, where we can increase the geographical area as people buy into the concept. But we need positive people like you and many others, I must tell you, people that went door to door for us that are now suddenly out of it, that are disappointed by that. And I get that. And the gentleman that said, you know, it should be the whole Kraftnet, that would be fantastic if it were achievable. And despite his criticism, and he's entitled to that view, we went as big as we could initially with the 80% collection rate. We included as many people and as many properties as we could. But we didn't get the support of all of those landowners. And we got to respect that. And we could either walk away from it, or we could say, no, we're going to give it one more bash. And if we get this off the ground, we believe it will grow, as it has in other places. And it's not because we want to elevate one portion of Kraftnet above the other. On the contrary, we've got plans outside of this area and funding. Other question? This? Sorry, is somebody at the back?
So have you had buy-in from the properties that are identified?
Yes.
Have you had some people who are not in favour of being part of it, but have been identified as being part of it?
Yes, yes.
So what will you do about that?
Yes and yes. Yes, if the votes remain as of today, then we have a vast majority of yes. They can retract those votes in the next 30 days. We have had people respond negatively, and we have to deal with each negative comment. In fact, each comment. So in this comment period, if we get comments from anybody, negative or positive, we will respond. And there have been people that are opposed to it. Limited, but yes, there are. And we've got to deal with that. And we've got an obligation in law to engage with that person, to understand what their problem is, and to try and address that, possibly persuade them differently. Because unfortunately, that person will be compelled to pay the rate whether he voted yes or no. And that's how a democracy works. Yes.
They will be charged.
Correct.
But they won't be compelled in that if they don't pay, it will be one of the bad debts.
It could become a bad debt, and we're hoping that's not going to happen. but there is provision in the budget. You would have noticed we are obliged in law to provide for bad debt. You know, yeah, I don't want to digress, but it's a reality of our society that a lot of people don't pay, okay? And you'll be surprised who they are. And it's hundreds of millions of rand owing to our municipality. We're hoping that the CID, if somebody commits to it, that they'll actually pay it. But we've got to allow for bad debt. You're quite right. Some people may not. And I just want to say that if they qualify for rebates or exemptions in terms of the Municipal Property Rates Act, they will equally benefit from that in the CID. So if they, for example, in a category that is otherwise exempt, then they will be exempt from this rate also, also from an affordability point of view.
In connection with the query regarding the property colours on the map,
yes,
to business and residential and so on,
yes,
I just want to mention that the municipality has a zoning scheme.
That's right.
Where all properties are zoned. And the municipality also has a valuation role,
yes,
where each property has a category.
Correct.
And those categories have a slightly wider possibility. And then there's also the use to which a property is put.
Right. You're right, Garth. And you know, we've experienced in the last while, and we work with these things, is the zoning maps also are color-coded like our little map. And they're not always accurate either. You get properties that are still zoned residential that have been used for another purpose for decades. And the property owner is, in fact, paying a commercial rate in respect of some of them, although his property is still zoned residential. So the color coding on the spatial development plan sometimes is not accurate. But you only discover this often when you're actually dealing with property. And you suddenly discover, but hang on, this is... Now you apply for a zoning certificate, becomes residential, and your commercial transaction threatens to fail because it has to be then rezoned, although the owner has been paying commercial rates for a while. There's another aspect which becomes apparent, and we've spent, the gentleman said we've had since December. He's right. We've had before December. We've spent, IMCA spent countless hours with the municipality's officials working through their database and correcting a lot of stuff was corrected in that process. But still there are errors. And there are also errors in the valuation role. We are compelled to raise the additional rate based on the municipal valuation. And we have discovered properties in this town that are grossly undervalued. But it's not our job to change that. There's a process by which the municipality appoints valuers to periodically revisit the value of properties. So it's possible that there are errors, and that's why Lance's input is valuable, because we've got to be accurate. And but often, until you actually deal with a particular property, you don't pick up the problem. We, as attorneys, often pick up those issues, and then we address them when it happens. Yes, Liz. I'm going to ask them very nicely. Yeah. Liz, they're not ratepayers, so we won't be able to do that. But there are other, you know, the government departments and all sorts of people. But a lot of those properties are exempt, you know, like churches as well and so on. Give an example of a zoning thing. You encounter the most ridiculous things, and you won't pick it up from a spatial development plan or sitting in the municipal office working through properties. You pick it up when you deal with that property. A property that's been used as a church since 18 something is zoned residential and may not be used for any other purpose. It's been used for another purpose for over 100 years. So you do encounter those anomalies. And then we fix them when we find them. Moira says it's time out for questions. There must be more questions. Listen, we would like you to leave here feeling excited about what's going to happen. When you look at the budget, they've proposed figures, and your board of directors that you're going to elect are going to control that budget and implement the business plan. And it's possible and probable that there will be deviations from the plan as you grow and as you develop. And that's okay. But we'd like to start. You know, there are people in this town that have just taken their own initiative. I don't know when last you looked at Burke Street, for example, what those people have done. You know, simple things like those green boxes of the trees in down Burke Street past Elsona's place up to the Methodist Church, beautifying their own sidewalks. If we as Graaff-Reinetters take ownership of our town and reinstall pride in our town, and we each do our little bit in our little space, you almost don't need the CID. The CID is a vehicle where collectively we can be more powerful. And that's really what it's about, making this town more special than it already is. And you must want that. If you don't want that, then you don't vote for it. And then it doesn't happen. But then we've tried. And we feel it's worth it. We feel this town is worth it. The whole town, sir, is worth it. No, don't apologize. No. Yes. Absolutely. Yes.
Look at security from the other point of view, which is your police and your traffic department. So vote through them, let them do the security. The cleanliness of the town belongs to the municipality. And you say you've got a good relationship with that people in the municipality. So why don't we then try and see what we can do for free, what everybody can do out of the generosity of their heart, and say we don't have to pay anybody to do something.
Yeah. Can I interrupt you?
Just keep doing that.
Yeah.
And the other point is how do these people that are sitting here now that voted yes convince the people that voted no to belong to this town?
Yeah.
So that's the thing. So
yeah.
The first thing is well, we've got now to publish this company. Let's do what we can do for free without any money. This thing is being done. Nobody has to be fighting. This community meetings is not costing anybody anything. Sit. Because people's going to choose security.
appointment, I'm secure that people take notes and say, this is the issue, I've got that right. I've got dogs running the streets, or there's people walking past my properties, there's people sitting in front of my properties I'm concerned about, or there's people sitting in front of other properties. So raise those issues, give them opportunity to then fix those things. And it's not costing the CID anything to fix those things. We just need to keep them on their toes.
All right. Sorry, can I interrupt you? Can I ask you what your name is, please?
Derek.
Derek. I'm also Derek, and I'm good to meet you. And no need to apologize. You're entitled to an opinion, and I think we need more people with a positive attitude like you have and doing your little bit where you can. And it's a good point. The issue of security, when Wessel presented the business plan to you, the law demanded of us that we do an urban survey, that the steering committee doesn't develop a business plan or a budget that is their idea. It had to be built on what the community asked for. So the urban survey emphasized massively the need to address security. Now, just for your benefit, before we had those public meetings and ongoing, we've engaged in what we call focus groups with under the four pillars. And one of them was security, where we engaged with the police, with private security, with GVE, with AfriForum, urban security, everybody involved in safety and security in this community, we engaged with to get their input and to understand what their challenges were. For example, the commanding officer of the police told us that he had two patrol vehicles only, and only one of them had a radio that worked. And the municipality have only two law enforcement officers. And the bottom line is that neither of those state organs that are charged with our safety and security have the capacity or resources to properly discharge their duty towards us, me and you, and our safety. So it's necessary for our communities, private security companies today, private security companies mobilized a far bigger force than the South African police services were able to do under the threat of possible violence in their marches today. It's necessary that we coordinate what all of us can do for safety and security. I get your point about cameras and how that might impact on the Grafnet experience. But it's been identified by the community and by the persons involved in security in Grafnet, all aspects of it, that there's a need to improve on certain aspects to ensure our safety and security so that your child, my grandchild, my children are big, can get on a bicycle, go to the spur, have a milkshake with their friends, walk back after a concert in the evening in safety. And we want to create an environment, and the heritage aspect is vital. We also engaged with the Heritage Society to guide us in what we do. Because there are parks, like the Angel Park, that's recently been vandalized that we want to fix, and I've asked for quotes for, but it's a heritage site, and you've got to be careful how you deal with it. So you spot on almost everything. The education aspect is important. Getting people to buy into your enthusiasm by taking care of their little space is what we want to achieve. And it becomes... I don't know if you saw the World Cup now, after the Japanese game. All the Japanese supporters stayed on after the game, and they cleaned the stadium. And it's because in their country, it's become habit. You clean. You don't wait for somebody else to clean your mess. You clean it. And your attitude is perfect. But we do think that the CID will play a role in that, and with your support and with people like thinking people. So thank you.
It's not that against the CID, I'm just saying, like, it's just that you talk about money and money. What can you do that is...
Yes. Your point is taken. Can I ask you, Derek, can I ask you, because we're going to run out of time and people want to get away, will you continue to engage with us beyond this meeting, I mean? I'd like some of your input as well. Is that okay? Thank you. Anybody else before we go to bed? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. I know. Peter Nell said that in the first meeting. No, I know that.
I'd actually like to stop paying my rates at the
Yeah. No, please don't do that.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, but please. No, some people have expressed that sentiment, but please don't do that. We want to add value to what they do. We're not going to take away from them to constrain them further. Thank you. I think then maybe we've dealt with it. Mr. Joubert, anything you want to say, ask? Are you happy? I think the most important thing Mr. Joubert is going to remind us of is that you understand that if you want to retract your vote, whether it was a yes or a no vote, you have that opportunity over the next 30 days to do that. You also have an opportunity to file comment with us, and we will take that seriously. We're not a bunch of perfect people. There might be things that we've overlooked or things that we can do better. We will welcome any comment, negative or positive. And we will engage with the no voters to understand their position. Thank you very much, and thank you for being here at all. Thank you.
Sorry, Hugh, can I just say something? I know it's not my job to do it, but I want to thank you and your committee for dedicating